Before we begin, let's take a moment to worship and put our hands together to worship the Supreme One, the Compassionate One. The winner of his own defilements, the Tathagata, by chanting the Namaskara three times altogether and with me.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa.
The Noble Triple Gem. The Noble Triple Gem. Gems, aren't they? You know, in a world, in our world, where the majority of people look for a way, their own selfish way, to find something to, you know, give their life meaning. And to do this, they do many things. But they always do it for themselves. They always do it for themselves and only themselves. Creating this, almost this feeling of, well, it's every man, every woman for themselves. And in this world, three gems arise. The Noble Triple Gem. These three gems rise and shine every once in a while, showing the world that there's more than just that. Showing the world that, you know, there's more than just thinking about oneself, more than just, you know, greed, more than just hatred, but a world where, or a life where you can spend with these three gems. The three gems are what? The Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Mahasangha. The teacher, the teachings, and the followers. I think just to be amongst one another, amongst people who will strive without a single moment of hesitation to help another person, that I think is one of the most luckiest things to be surrounded by. To be surrounded by people who, without a single moment of hesitation, is willing to help one another. You know, the other day I was thinking, you know, how does this all begin? You know, we are all striving to find our own liberation, finding a way to make our, or finding a way to true happiness. Where does this all start? How does it all, how can a mind enter this path? You see, the entry point to self-liberation, the entry point to our own salvation is what? The Buddha says, the entry point to Nibbana is what? Dāna. Generosity. Giving. And it took me a while to actually think, to actually realize what this actually means. Giving. The idea of giving is such a very interesting idea, isn't it? Something that I own, I'm giving to someone else. Now, when I give something, I can have various, you can say, intentions. For example, I can give this pen. I can give you this pen. I can say, you know, I have this green pen. I can give it to you. Oh, do you want it? And I can give it. I can have a various number of intentions inside here. For example, I can have an intention, well, you know, I already have a pen to write with, but you don't. So I want to give you this pen. Or I can have the intention, well, you know, I like red, don't like green. I just, you know, green, not a good color. So I want to get rid of this, so I'm going to give it to someone else. You know how we normally give away our problems? You know, we delegate our problems. We say, you know, it's not my worry anymore. It's now yours. You can give worry. You see, the actual idea of giving is so much more deeper than we realize. Because giving isn't such a, it actually isn't an easy thing to do. Giving isn't an easy thing to do. Now, I'm in a room of people who are, you know, who are, I believe, to be very great people. So most of you be thinking, giving, I mean, that's like second nature to us. You know, someone needs help, I'm more than happy to help. Someone needs something, I'm more than happy to provide to the best I possibly can. I'm in a room of people who you know, like I said, without a second of a hesitate, a second or a moment of hesitation, will be willing to help another. But the actual idea of giving isn't something that's easy. The actual idea of giving isn't something that's easy. Try asking a little child, right, a young child, to give something. Something they like. Or try asking anyone to give something they believe is something that makes them happy or something that will make them happy. Ask them to give that away. See how easy it is. Or if I was to ask you, you know, let's say you like cake. You always have chocolate cake, right? Let's say you like chocolate cake. If I was to ask you to give that away, is that easy? If it's something that you like, you think it's you find it very difficult to give it away because why? You have this idea, this is mine, this is what makes me happy. How can I give what makes me happy away? So to have the idea, well, I am having cake and cake makes me happy. The person over here doesn't have cake. I want to make them happy and you give a slice of your cake. To have that idea isn't actually as common as we feel. The path to self-realization, the path to to liberate oneself from the shackles of this internal turmoil starts by giving. Well, you can say, well, how can me freeing myself from suffering and giving, how are they linked? No, there's a massive link between these two things. There's actually such a strong link. I remember there used to be there's a quote. I can't remember exactly who said it. If my memory is correct, I think it's Mahatma Gandhi says, dissolve yourself in the service of others. Dissolve yourself in the service of others. So this when we talk about giving, what is giving? What is giving? You see, I want to explore both 2D and 3D nature of giving. When I mean 2D, 3D, I mean the mundane and the supramundane view of giving. I want to explore that because I think it's very, very, very interesting. Because giving, the concept of giving isn't as simple, like I said, isn't as simple as, oh, I have pen, I give pen, done. Because there's more. For you to be able to give something to someone, the first thing that you have to have is you have to realize that there is what? So we're talking about the very basic level of giving. The first thing that to give something to someone, the first thing you have to realize that there is what? Another person there, that is what? There is another person there that is not happy. Or could be happy if. Again, to be able to give something to someone, the first thought that you should be able to, the first thought that you should have is, there is someone who isn't happy or could be happy if. If you don't have that idea, can you give? If you don't have that idea, can you give? Unfortunately, you can't. Now, here's the thing. Ideas come from where? Ideas come from where? Where do ideas come from? Although we believe these ideas are all mine, these are all my ideas. Actually, if we looked at what ideas truly are, ideas are the collection of your memories, your views, your knowledge, your experience. That is put them together. That is your ideas. For example, if I asked you to draw something that you've never seen before. So if I asked you, let me ask you, you know, draw an animal that you've never seen before. Now an idea has popped up in each of your heads. However, I can guarantee that idea is a mix of different animals. So you may think of an elephant's trunk, a lion's legs, an eagle's wings. But if I asked you to think about something that you've never thought of before, you've never heard of before, so not even the eagle's wings, just something that is not, you've never seen before, never heard of before, you can't. Because your ideas are a mix of what? Things that you've heard before, things that you've seen before, your knowledge, your experience, put them together, that's your idea. So to have the idea that there is someone who needs your help, that comes from where? That idea has to be an idea that someone has given to you, i.e. that's your environment. Think about this, right? The idea of giving can only be, you can only have that idea if your environment gives, or if that environment gives rise to that idea. That environment is made due to what? Your environment is made due to what? Your environment is made due to your karma. Due to your own, you can create your own environment. How? See, according to the people you associate, you can create a different environment. For example, let's say you have friends who are, you know, who love to have fun. 9 times out of 10, when you're with these friends, what are you doing? Doing the same things they're doing. So for example, if they like to party, you will what? You will what? Like to party. You'll be partying in that moment. Let's say, you know, your friends are all partying. Would you sit in the corner just thinking, why should I party? No, when they're partying, you automatically have the idea of what? Oh, let me join in. So if I remember correctly, you know, in the past, in the UK, in London, there used to be a king. If I remember correctly, it was, I think, King Philip or some sort of king who loved to party. That era, every single person in the country would love to do what? party. Why? Because that's their environment. They would like to have joy. They'll sing, they'll dance, and do all this. Then the king afterwards was very against having fun. Having fun was a sin. Poof. The environment changed. And now what? People did not have fun. They had fun in secret, but outside their house, no. They won't smile. They won't look at another person. It was misery. Why? Because that's the environment. According to your environment, you change. So for you to have the idea of giving, your environment must be conducive. Your environment must be conducive for you to give. And that environment is created by your previous actions, the people you associate. So to have the idea of giving, isn't a normal idea. However, once that idea is placed, it's now a positive feedback. Why? You give, you now create the environment for what? More opportunities to help another person. You have the opportunity, you get more opportunities. And don't forget, in this world, everything in this world is always in a balance. Every time you do something for another person, it comes back to you. Because the world is always trying to be in its most equal state. And we know this, you know, using science as well, we know this. For example, this pen will stay like this for as long as what? For as long as? As long as I'm holding this like this. The moment I let go, this pen will go back to what? Will go to its most stable form on the table. The world is always trying to be stable, right? This is not the stablest form, because let's say, you know, if the table or something was to happen to the table, the pen will fall down further, thanks to what we call gravity. But the world is always trying to be stable. The world is always trying to be as stable as possible. So whenever you do something, whenever you expend energy, we can expend energy in three sort of ways. What are the ways? Through our actions and through our thoughts and through our words. These are three basic ways we expend energy. When you give energy, you are unbalancing this. Therefore, the world will try to rebalance it. That's why they say what you give is what you get. And you can say this through your own experience. When you do something good, doesn't your environment automatically change? For example, when you came inside this monastery, didn't your environment change? Because of your environment, did you not change? For example, when you come to the monastery, does anyone have the need to steal? To lie? To hurt? No, because the environment does not allow you to. Doesn't mean that there's rules saying you shouldn't, but that environment is not conducive for you to do bad. And then so when your environment is conducive, you have the idea to give. Then the question arrives, give to who? Give to who? Now, if you looked at it, right? Have you all planted something before? Planted a seed before? Where is the best place to plant a seed? For example, if I was to plant a seed on the stage, will it grow? It could, hypothetically, it could. But the probability is extremely low. Where's the best place then? On fertile land. I mean, there are certain places where if you were just to throw a seed, accidentally just throw a seed, you don't need to dig a hole and plant and cover, just throw a seed. Some land, some spaces are so fertile that if you were to throw a seed, the seed will germinate and will grow very quickly. Now, here's the thing. To give to who? To give to who? Now, this will change according to your own views. For example, you may think, well, another person is in need of help. Let me help them. For example, you know, wherever you are in the world, there is always going to be, you know, a person who is in need of your help. Whether they're on the street, or whether they are, you know, somewhere, in a home, in an orphanage. Out of compassion, because, I mean, for you to have that idea, you have to have this idea that I am fortunate, they are unfortunate. So I want to give part of my fortunateness to them. Then you give to those. Once you start this cycle, you start to realize what? The advantage of giving. Then you start giving not just to those who are unfortunate. Then you start giving to what? Because you realize when I give, I receive. What I give, I receive. Then you realize, if I give to wisdom, what should I receive? I will receive wisdom. If I was to give to wisdom, I will receive wisdom. Wisdom for what? Wisdom for happiness. Wisdom for unconditional happiness. Again, that's according to your environment. Your environment gives you views. Your views will change the way you think. So here is another seed. What's that? If you give to wisdom, you'll receive wisdom. Now, to find true happiness, where is the best place? Where is the best place to find true happiness or to find happiness? Let's go to a doctor. Let's ask a doctor. Doctor, are you happy? We're looking for the true place, the place I can find true happiness. I go to a doctor and say, doctor, are you happy? Sometimes yes, but sometimes no. I'll go to an engineer and ask the engineer, engineer, are you truly happy? They'll say what? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Then you can go to, you know, teachers, lawyers, you know, wherever you want to go, you can go to anyone and ask, you know, I want to give to your wisdom so I can be unconditionally happy. Are you happy? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So, if you were to think about it, tell me a person who is unconditionally happy. And not only happy, but spreads the teaching for others to be unconditionally happy. What's that? The Buddha. That's when we realize that the Buddha is the source of what? He is the source of the teachings that teach what? How to be truly happy. Therefore, we do what? We give to the wisdom. We give the wisdom. And that's why we do what? That's why we do what? Buddha Puja. We make offerings to the Buddha for that reason. We are making offerings to wisdom. Therefore, we receive the wisdom to do what they did. Therefore, you start giving Buddha Pujas. You give the puja to the Buddha's qualities. Like we say, every time we say, you know, we're not making offerings to a statue. There's no point. It's a statue. Not even a person, because the person is no longer there. We're giving this dhani. We're giving these offerings to who? The qualities. What quality are we giving into? The wisdom. When you give wisdom, you receive wisdom. When you give wisdom, you receive wisdom. Wisdom to do what? To become unconditionally happy. Right? How much is your happiness worth? How much is your happiness worth? Give it a price. How much is your happiness worth? How much can I pay you for to get rid of your happiness? Ladies and gentlemen, you know, our minds really want to be happy. The price of our happiness cannot be given a price. It is priceless. Your happiness is what? Priceless. Your happiness is what? Priceless. But yet, you know, we normally would sell it, or not sell it, we'll give it away to people. We'll give our happiness away to other things. Do we not? Do we not give our happiness away? Because, ladies and gentlemen, you are fundamentally happy. You give your happiness away. You give your happiness away to, you know, the phones in your pocket. Do they not take away your happiness? They do. Doesn't your house take away your happiness? They do. Because we give away our happiness. You know, this is why, you know, they say no amount of money can make a person happy. We can agree on that, can't we? Because no amount of money can actually make a person happy. Like last week, we talked about, you know, how money, or the value of money is mind-made. It's made in the mind. It's not actually there. The value that you feel is something that your own mind feels. For example, you know, if you were to ask a young child, how valuable is money, they won't know. For example, if you were to give, you know, a young child some money, they would spend it willy-nilly. They won't even care about it. But if you were to give someone who knows the value of money, or who can feel the value of money, they'll use mind differently, because the feeling of the value of money is, you know, is something the mind makes. Now, how much money could make you truly happy? You can't. No amount of money could make you truly happy. So here's the question. Then how can we use it to give us happiness? So there's two ways. One way is to use it for your own self-happiness. The other way is to use it to make others happy. Making others happy will in turn give you what? What you give is what you get. That's why they say, you know, the first and foremost portion of whatever, the first and foremost portion, the best portion, you should always give away. So whenever you make a meal, give away your first and foremost portion. Give away your first and foremost portion. To who? To who? To the one who has found the answer to life's questions. That's why in the monastery we offer the first and foremost portion to who? The Buddha. The second portion to who? Those who follow in the steps that the Buddha has preached. Those who follow the path to what the Buddha has taught, to find their own what? Salvation. Because they know, because we know, when you give to a person who, you know, if I wanted to spread a rumor, who should I go to? If I want to spread a rumor, who should I go to? You know that one person who goes around telling everything to everyone? I don't need to go far. You need to tell one person. If I tell that one person, they'll spread it far and wide for me. So if I want to give happiness, who should I give it to? The one who spreads happiness far and wide. What's that? The Buddha and the Mahasangha. Bhikkhu bhikkhuni upasaka upasika. Because by giving dana, you are giving what? You are giving to a fountain, an endless fountain that will continue to spurt out what? Happiness. Not for oneself, but for everyone. Because if you think about it, you know, water fountains provide water for who? Or natural springs provide water for who? For themselves? For everything around them. For example, you know, these big rivers, they start off with what? A natural spring. These massive rivers start off by natural springs. That small spring can come together to help, you know, not just themselves, but the animals, nature, the greenery, you know, everything around. That's why dana is very important. Dana, or else generosity. And then you go from there, and then you think, you know what? To receive wisdom, what should I give? I should give wisdom. To receive wisdom, what should I give? I should give wisdom. Then you start doing what? Giving the wisdom that you know to make yours, to the understanding that you have to make for one own's liberation, you give to others. When you give, you receive. When you give unconditional happiness, you receive what? When you give mental serenity, or the path to mental serenity, what do you receive? The path to mental serenity. Or you receive mental serenity itself. Because what you give is what you get. Do you see how the path of giving is the start of the journey to mental serenity? It is what brings one step at a time. That's why they say merit is one of the most important things. Your good deeds, your good actions are the most important things, because they create the environment that gives rise to another mind that brings you closer to your own liberation. That's why they say the environment is essential. That's why they say if you want to be successful, who should you surround yourself with? Successful people, because they give you the environment. They'll give you the views. They'll give you the knowledge that you need to be successful. So if you want to be unconditionally happy, who should you surround yourself with? People who are on the path, or who have attained it. Another word for people who are on the path to mental serenity, that's what? The Mahasangha. Anyone who has who have tried or who are on the path of understanding, they are those. They are those people. Because who is the Mahasangha? Who is the Mahasangha? The question, who is wrong? Because you can't say who. See, the question is, what is the Mahasangha? What is the Mahasangha? To answer this question, I want to go back in time. 2,500 years back in time. Because the lineage of the Mahasangha, or the lineage of his understanding, goes back in through time. There was a monk. His name was the great Arahant Kashyapa. He spends his time where? Mahakashyapa Maharatanavansa spends his time where? In the forest. In this forest, he's an Arahant, preaching, and in his mental serenity. But one day, he goes round begging for alms. And he sees in distance a man, but not any old man. A man with a hunchback, with torn clothes. But not just any torn clothes. This man had a disease. He had leprosy. Leprosy is a disease where, your body starts to decay so much that, your limbs actually fall off. So fingers and toes and whatnot. So this person was missing fingers and missing some toes. Mahakashyapa Maharatanavansa, right? This great Arahant Mahakashyapa. He wanted to find a way to give this man a way to do merits, a way to do a good deed, to start his journey. So what does he do? He goes to alms. He goes begging for alms. Goes to the man with leprosy. And waits. Waits for what? This man to offer whatever food he has. Now, this is a man in leprosy, he wanted to give something, but he knows that, he doesn't have a lot. He doesn't have a lot. He was poor in himself, and yet he has leprosy. He didn't know what to do. But he had a small amount of food. Just a small amount, just a handful of food, which, he was going to have for his lunch. Because of the new environment of Mahakashyapa Maharatanavansa, the great Ahankashyapa, he has the idea of what? I want to give a handful of rice. And so he gets up, takes out his small plate of food, takes one bite, takes a handful, and puts it into the alms bowl. At that moment, his heart is filled with utmost happiness. Why? Because he has given. He has given what he had. He has given. And he takes his hand back out, and he sits down. He looks at his hands. A hand that used to have 5 fingers now had 4. one of his fingers had broken off. And in what? And in Mahakashapa's, Maharatan Mohan's arms ball. Now this man looks at this and, you know, he starts to feel so, so bad. Because his finger is inside that. That finger is surrounded, you know, is dirty. You know, it's not just dirty, it's a finger. You know, he's ruined this monk's food. Or so he thought. Mahakashyapa Maharatan once, after seeing the finger in his arms bowl, sits under a tree, removes the finger out of the alms bowl, and maybe even the rice that surrounded it. And in front of the man with leprosy, consumes the food. The heart of that, just imagine the heart of that person. The amount of glee, the amount of happiness that person must have got. After having given and seen that, you know, seeing his own finger fall in. But Mahakashyapa Maharatan Mohanse takes the finger out and consumes the meal. That's why you can't ask the question, who is the Mahasangha? It's what is the Mahasangha? The Mahasangha is a fountain of unconditional happiness. The great Arhat Mahakashyapa went maybe many kilometers in search of a person to help. Just like Guru Hanru will travel so far to help, you know, a single person. The great, you know, Lord Buddha went so far to help a single person. Why? Because that is their job. As part of the Mahasangha. To spread happiness. That's why they say, you know, giving to the Mahasangha is Mahatpalai Mani Sansai. The greatest fruit, the greatest blessing. Or the greatest benefit. Because you're giving energy. When you're giving dana, you're giving energy to a group of people who are fighting against their own defilements and those who are spreading the teachings to help everyone else to find unconditional happiness. This is why they say this is one of the greatest places to give, because it's the most beneficial. It multiplies the merit hundredfolds. Think about this, right? Everyone had breakfast in the morning? Hope so, yeah. If not, you had something yesterday, right? Something, some sort of food, right? Is it not because of that food that you are here today? Is it not because of that food you are here today? Is it not because of that food you're able to listen to this today? Is it not because of the food someone has given me that I'm here today? That I'm able to share this message? So the person who offered me food, can't they rejoice in the merit that of all of that, of what I do today? They have the full liberty to rejoice, to also gain that merit as well. Now, once you give to the Mahasangha, not a singular person, the Mahasangha, then the amount of merits you accumulate knows no bounds. Because the Mahasangha is what? The Mahasangha will never do what? Ignite desire, ignite aversion, ignite delusion. They'll do the complete opposite. What? Uproot desire, uproot aversion, uproot delusion. Helping everyone around us do what? To attain Nibbana, to attain this mental serenity. This is why dana is so important. That's why, you know, I would recommend, you know, give. Even if you only have little, give what you have, at least a small amount. Because the more you give, the more you receive. Just like Anne Frank said, no one has ever been poor by giving. Give. That's where the journey starts. Give. Now I want to explore the more 3D aspect of this, or the more deeper aspect of this. Because when it comes to giving, like I said, the first thought you have to have is what? There is someone. And then what else do you have to know? What else do you have to have? I have something that I'm going to give to that person. Right? This is when you have to really, really think. So this is now, we're now just going from this conventional aspect to the more deeper point of this, right? So let me ask you this question. What truly belongs to you? What belongs to you? If I was to ask you to write a list of things that belong to me, what would you write? My house. My car. For some of us not. My clothes. My shoes. My phone. And you could write a list, a massive list. Because if you think about it, what else you can take anything in this world, can't you? Because this is my world. This is my house, my road, my street, my town, my city, my province, my county, my country, my world. You can go further, can't you? My solar system, you can go even further. My galaxy, my universe. Now, these are all things that belong to you, right? Right? My universe, the universe belongs to me. My world, the world belongs to me. Really? Does it? All right, we can remove those things. You know, universe, world, city, country. Technically, they're not things that belong to you, but you belong to it, right? As also we can think. But when you talk about belonging is very interesting because your house belongs to you. Agreed. You all have a house. Agreed. Right? We all have a house. Right? And that house belongs to you. For as long as what? As long as? As long as I have the keys? Your house belongs to you for as long as you have the keys, right? If you lose your keys, you no longer have the house? That's not how it works. How can you prove that house belongs to you? Very simple. You bring out what? The deed. A piece of paper that claims that what? This house belongs to? This house belongs to me. This is my house. Right. Let's ask your house. Let's give your house a mouth and a brain. And ask the house. House, who do you belong to? What would the house actually say? I don't know. I don't really belong to anyone. Instead, you know, people use. Well, someone can come in and use it. But I belong to who? Don't belong to anyone. Because you can use a house, but let's say you leave, let's say, for example, when we went to, say, for example, one of some of our monks, when we go abroad, sometimes people will leave their houses and give the house for the monks to stay in. So when they've given the house to the monks, the house now belongs to who? The monks? Does your house really belong to you? Or do you believe it belongs to you? That house doesn't really belong to you. Instead, you believe it belongs to you. What about your clothes? Or a better answer is, what about your patkada? Who does your patkada belong to? Or the praying mat? Who does it belong to? It belongs to me. However, you know, those of you who have the patkadas or the praying mat, have you not like switched by accident with someone else? Never happened before? And you find out afterwards that you look at it and you think, oh, this is not mine. Did the praying mat complain? Did it say, no, your wrong shoulder? You know, I shouldn't be on yours, I should be on someone else's. Did the praying mat complain? The patkada complain? No. But doesn't it feel weird when you put on someone else's, knowingly put on someone else's? Doesn't it feel different? But that difference is what? Mind-made. Your clothes, although you believe it's yours, it's, again, it's because you believe it's yours. For example, those of you who have, say, siblings, can't you wear your siblings? Let's say you have an older, say, you know, if you have an older brother or younger brother, or if you're a girl, an older sister or younger sister, can't you share clothes? You could. Does the clothes say, wrong owner, I can't be worn by you? No, the clothes don't complain. Why don't they don't complain? Because they don't have someone who owns them. Your phone only works because you want it to work, right? Because you own it, right? But if someone else got the password, can't they use the phone the same way you use it? The exact same way you use it, can't they? Or even better, you don't give the password. Someone hacks your phone. Can't they pretend it's theirs and use it the same way that you use it? They could, 100%. Have you never had like an email hacked before? Never? I remember once, a long, long time ago, you know, very, very long time ago, like a couple, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I remember I got my account hacked. And so they were sending emails and I didn't know about it. I thought that email was whose? I thought that email was mine. But the hacker thought what? No. That email is whose? Now it's mine. Because in this world, what truly belongs to you? What truly belongs to you? Belonging is just a feeling that you have. The sense of belonging is a feeling that you have. This pen will only write if I'm writing it, right? Because it's my pen, right? Right? No. The pen will write regardless of the writer. I mean, technically, there doesn't need to be a writer. If I left, I don't know, if... Like, have you never like accidentally dropped a pen somewhere and it's drawn on the floor by accident? There was no writer. The writing happened because there doesn't need to be an owner. This pen doesn't have an owner. I mean, what part of this pen... I use this pen and I think it's mine. I give it to someone else and they use the pen and they think it's theirs. What part of the pen changes according to user? What about toothbrushes? Your toothbrush is yours?
Your toothbrush is yours.
I remember I was talking to a person the other day, and he told me of a tragic story, absolutely tragic. He and his fiance, you know, they were, I mean, he wakes up first, right, to go to work, and fiance wakes up later. And so one day in the holidays, when they had a holiday, when he picked up his brush, he realized the bristles were what? Wet. He picked up his fiance's brush. And the bristles were what? Dry. He was confused. So he calls the fiance. What does she say? That's? You're holding? He's holding his brush. She says what? You're holding? My brush. So both of them have been using what? Their brush. They're both using what? Their brush. Not his or her, it's theirs. She thought it was hers, he thought it was his. They were both using theirs. And they're told to, and you know. But that brush, did the brush complain? Did the brush complain saying, I'm being used by two users here? The brush doesn't care. Because the brush belongs to no one. You see, you know, especially in Sri Lanka, you get this a lot. You know how sometimes, you know, insects can come inside? You know, sometimes, you know, you'll hear, you know, there'll be like animals on the roofs, you know, you get squirrels and pigeons in places and, you know, animals in your houses. We get annoyed saying that that pigeon is in my house, or this bird has come into my house, or, you know, these flies are in my house. But actually, is it your house? No, it's just an area for living to happen, right? Somewhere, so just an area of place. So this insect doesn't have a, you know, it doesn't have its own navigation system saying, oh, this is a house, I can't go in this house. It doesn't have that because why? That, and for the insect, this is all just what? A place. The room doesn't say anything when an insect comes in. You know, let's say a fly comes in. The room didn't say, fly, oh no, there's a fly inside here. Go away because I don't belong to you. Now, this does not mean, right? This does not mean if there's a spider in your house to go, oh no, you know, this is not my house. I leave the spider there. You know, if you live in this world, you have to, you know, do what is needed. I remember, a person came up to Guru Hamur once and asked the question, really, saying that, you know, Guru Hamur, you know, Guru Dero, there was two spiders in my kitchen. I allowed them to live, to live with me in the kitchen. Now there's many spiders. What should I do? Guruhan looks at me as like, I don't know what to say. Guruhan says, oh, you know, if you live in this world, well, you're gonna have to, do what is needed. And then she says, what about, you know, the in my bathroom, I there was a cockroach, so I let the cockroach live. Live in my bathroom, live with me in my bathroom. And now, you know, I can't go into the bathroom because, you know, there's so many cockroaches. So this is not saying, you know, if there's a spider, leave the spider be, you know. You do what is needed. But understanding what? The house does not belong to you. you are using it. When you use it, you have to keep it clean and nice. Because technically, right now, this room is yours, is it not? You are using it. But you can say, well, I don't live here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you live here or not. You use it. Just like you use your house until you move house. This is yours. The seat that you're on is yours. Yours for the time being. The moment you stand up and you walk out, it is no longer yours. So when you're saying you're giving, what are you actually giving? Because like I said, to give, you first have to realize there's someone who needs something, and you give something that you have to someone else. Can you? Can you give something that you have to someone else if nothing belongs to you? And not only that, who is this other person? Well, let me ask you this question. What is a person? A person is what? Causes coming together to give rise to a single moment. Or in other words, a single mind. That is a person. A single mind, that is a person. A person means that is a mind. There isn't, when we talk about people, we're not talking about a single individual here. Because if we asked who a person is what? A mind and a body. And that body is what? That body is not theirs. Because that body, you know, your body that you believe to be yours. Well, actually is what? Your body is what? Isn't actually yours. But you can say, well, I can move the way I want it. Well, can you? Can you? Can you move exactly the way you want to? Have you never stubbed your toe before? If you're moving the way you want to, why do you stub your toe? Intentionally? No, not really. No, not really. You know, although you say, this is my hand, this hand is subject to what? This hand is subject to what? Subject to change. When the causes align differently, your hand will change. For example, a beast comes and stings your hand. What happens to your hand? Or what happens to the hand? It will start swelling. Now, if I ask you, right, okay, this is my hand, and that's your hand. In my hand, or on over, making my hand, there is a carbon atom. In your hand, there is also what? A carbon atom. If I swap those two carbon atoms, am I now part you? Are you now part me? Who does carbon belong to? Carbon belongs to me, right? Oxygen belongs to me, right? Hydrogen belongs to me, right? If carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and whatever elements that make your body, if it doesn't belong to you, then why do you believe this is yours? What part of this is yours? What about the mind? Is your mind yours? Your mind is a beautiful process. An absolutely magnificent process of what? Of identifying, recognizing, and perceiving. Your mind is a beautiful process of what? Identifying and perceiving. That is one of the most important things, because, you know, the mind is something that perceives, whether you want to perceive or not, but yet you feel that this mind is mine, it belongs to me. Because of what reason? Because you believe that it's mine. That I control my mind, but that mind is not under your control. You can't control your thoughts. I mean, that's very dangerous, isn't it? Can you trust your mind? Can you trust your own mind? Sometimes when you get really strange thoughts, thoughts that you don't really think are good, right? Okay. We all know that stealing is wrong. But have you never stolen? Now, that doesn't mean you steal big things. I'm not talking like bank robberies or whatnot. I mean, maybe like, a pen. That's still stealing. Or, when you're little, you take, your friend's eraser. That's still stealing. Even if you know stealing is wrong, if you still steal, how do you trust your mind? I mean, think about this, right? There are things that you keep hidden in your lives that you don't want to, so for example, sometimes there are there may be various things that you try to keep hidden. Because you know what you did was wrong. You know what you did wasn't right. So you try to hide it. Therefore you lie, trying to hide it. You try to, do whatever you can to hide. Now that hiding is because you've done something that you know is wrong. So if you know it's wrong, why are you doing it in the first place? How do you trust your own mind? Because your mind isn't something that you control. Your mind is what? Your mind is causes coming together to give rise to an effect. Think about it. Whenever you feel stressed, whenever you are angry, you are very unpredictable, aren't you? Have you never said something or done something that later you thought, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Because when you're under pressure, the mind looks for a way to get rid of that pressure. This is why, your mind will always look for a way to get rid of pressure, because the mind doesn't like feeling pressurized. For example, when you are stressed at work, you take the stress home, do you not? And you relieve that stress on something or someone by doing something, or you hold it inside until you explode. Because the mind doesn't like feeling stressed. So anyway, your mind, the mind isn't something that belongs to you. The mind is a tool that is used to perceive. So you want to give something to someone else. Can you? What truly happens is what? That mind is what? Currently feeling what? Currently feeling stressed, or currently feeling this mental agitation. This mind recognizes it. And due to the mind, this mind's compassion, the mind wants to do what? Find a way to remove that. To remove mental vexation, what are the two ways to remove it? Either to relieve or to get rid. A mind that understands that this mind is under mental vexation because of ignorance and attachment will only do one thing and one thing only. What is that? Find a way to get rid. Because relieving that vexation is futile. For example, you want chocolate, I give you chocolate. Does that solve your problem? Temporarily. Next moment, please can I have some more chocolate. Why? Because you can't remove vexation by relieving it. You can't remove this mental agitation by relieving it. What do you have to do? You have to fight. Fight against ignorance. To do that, what do you need? A kalyana mitra. Therefore, you're now what? A kalyana mitra to that mind. So what are you actually giving? A person who understands the idea of giving will always give what? Wisdom. Will always give what? Wisdom. That mind is under, you know, is physically hungry. A mind that understands the concept of giving will give what? Wisdom. How can you give wisdom? How can you give wisdom if a person's hungry? You give it food. You give them the body food. For what reason? So they can understand to get rid of their own mental vexation. Now your aim and your only aim is what? To help another person. To do what? Remove themselves from mental suffering. Remove themselves from mental suffering. Now, no matter what you do, what is your aim? To spread the understanding. To do what? To remove their mental vexation by helping them get rid of what? Ignorance and attachment. Now, every time you talk to a person, what is your aim? To help them get rid of their ignorance and attachment. Now, don't get me wrong. This doesn't mean whenever you meet someone, you start talking about the Dhamma and you go, oh, you know, this word is anicca. Yeah? You know, this word is actually anicca. And you go, every conversation starts with what? They don't understand. Like, anicca. I'm not saying that. I'm saying whenever a mind meets the other mind, that mind will think what? What can I do to help? Therefore, dissolving itself in the service of another. Therefore, dissolving itself in the service of another. This is why, you know, the concept of giving is such an important concept. You know, giving has, you know, that's why merits are number one. See, merits, you know, the amount of merits you accumulate will start to increase. The more you practice, the more you understand. The more it increases until what? Until it goes to a point where you no longer need it. When's that? When you become an arahant. When you become an arahant, you no longer need it. Again, because, you know, if I asked you what truly belongs to you, now you can't have an answer. Because what in this world actually belongs to you? The hair on your head doesn't really belong to you. It's my hair, okay. What does that mean to your hair? Nothing. So does it mean I don't need to comb it? No, you have to. Because it's something that you use. Does it not mean that I have to wash it? Of course, wash it. Because it's something that you use. But is it your hair? Everything that you use is something that you use. It's not yours. The moment you believe this is now mine, now it comes this idea that, no, I have to keep it with me and no one can else take it, no one else can use it because it's mine. And then again, we come to this idea of this is all mine. These are my things. These are your things. Don't touch my things. I won't touch your things. And we come to this world. We come again to this world of very selfishness. Well, we come to this world of selfishness. These are mine. Those are yours. You don't touch my stuff. I don't touch your stuff. I'm going to only care about me. But if we were to realize what? Everything. Everything is something that I use. See, your knowledge is what? Yours. Is your knowledge yours? No, knowledge is just knowledge. That's why, whatever knowledge you have, give. Whatever knowledge you have, give. Give to the maximum. Do whatever you need, whatever you can to do help another person, give to the maximum. So, you know, that's why, you know, about a week or two back, we had our language festival. And something that some of our monks reminded me is how valuable some people are. Because they sacrifice their time to some of our devotees sacrifice their time to teach our monks, Anagarikas, Anagarikas, a language. They are giving their knowledge. You know, some of our monks, Anagarikas, you know, they give their time to others. They lend an ear for others. And, you know, this is why this environment is always conducive for one thing only. What's that? For you to help yourself as well as help other people to do what? To find mental serenity. To find mental serenity. That's why, you know, now that you have, that you're starting to understand or you've understood, you know, these concepts, this is why, you know, start to spread. Spread your knowledge. The knowledge that you've understood to others. Helping them, because, you know, think about the amount of people who are constantly suffering because of something that they own. Or they believe they own. You know, when they realize, you know, this doesn't belong to me. It's something that I use but doesn't belong to me. That massive weight on their shoulder is relieved. Now they can walk as freely as possible. You know, as free as they can be. So give. Give yourself. Give yourself away. Dedicate your time for one another. Dedicate your time, your knowledge, whatever you have for another. For another's what? Mental serenity, for their own liberation. So give your knowledge. Give your time. Lend an ear to another person. Lend a heart to another person. You know, be compassionate. Always have in mind, may this mind be free from ignorance and attachment, and may this mind attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. That's the one and true aim you should always have. May minds be free from ignorance and attachment. May they be free from ignorance and attachment, and may they attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. And with that utmost blessing, live your lives. Live your lives as great people. Don't let 2 days be the same. Always make sure that, you know, today you are better than you were yesterday. Always make sure that, you know, today you're better than you were yesterday. You know, make that, you know, make it your New Year's resolution to what? Not be the same person who entered the year, who will exit. Become a person, a great person. Become a true blessing to all of humanity. Right. We have Dakini today. So I have to end early. But before we do end, I do want to remind you that, you know, we talked about Dane for the reason because, you know, I want you to understand that this is the entrance. Entrance doesn't mean just the entry. Dane or generosity has to be something that you live by. It is one of the perfections that you have to fulfill. It's something that you have to fulfill until the very end. That's why, you know, I wanted to talk about Dana because that is not just the entry, but the entry and the end and everything in between. So, you know, if you can offer the first and foremost portion of a meal to the Buddha, the Mahasangha. Like something that Guru Hamdra says is, to leave your first and foremost portion, right, of your salary, just a bit, maybe, you know, couple of dollars, couple of rupees, to do what? To give. You know, if you, you know, encourage children to give. You know, encourage your children to, you know, have a small can whenever, you know, whenever they earn something, to set a small bit aside. I think Guru Hamdra had once said that, you know, if you give your child pocket money, say you give them 50 rupees, give them 55. So they can put 5 rupees where? Into a small can, which they can use to give something to someone. Where they can use to collect and give dana. Like I said, you know, I think I told said this last week as well, that, you know, there's some children in Australia. I mean, I think it's a very beneficial thing that they do, is that every plastic bottle, if you hand it into a recycling center, they give you 50 cents per bottle. So, you know, some children, they'll come and they'll, like every time we had a program, all you see is this group of children coming together and taking every single bottle and putting them into the bag. Why? Because they want to collect that 50 cents for what? They all come together to give dana. To give a dana. To give an almsgiving to who? The Mahasangha. So one child, his father came up to me and said, you know, he's collected, if I'm not mistaken, 400 and something dollars. Meaning how many bottles? Consistently, you know, whenever he's walking on the street, he'll pick up a bottle. In his mind, he's picking up what? A way to give. So encourage your children, encourage your friends, you know, give. Whenever you can, give. You know, like, always find a way to make another person happy. Give. You know, let's say, you know, you're writing something down and someone needs a pen. Let's say you have a pencil. You use the pencil and you give the pen away. So they can use the pen, I'll use the pencil. That's fine. At least the other person has something to write with. Give. Give and you shall receive. Give and you shall receive. Right. Let's take a few moments to conclude today's sermon and transfer our merits. Let's take a moment to transfer the merits we've acquired by making offerings to the infinite virtues, the Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirith, listening Dharma, engaging in various meritorious deeds today. So first and foremost, let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of Lord Buddha's teachings. And with immense gratitude, let's transfer the merits to Bhikshu Bhikshunis, Upasakas, Upasakas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teaching of the Buddha and passed it down to the generation of the noble lineage in the form of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, to comprehend Dhamma. There's also a moment of transfer merits required to all the members of the Mahasangha present in the world, including all chaplains of our chapters, who have dedicated their lives to the noble path and committed themselves to the betterment of all sentient beings. Let's not forget among them will be the monks and nuns residing in local temples and nunneries, who have always been by your side, the thick and thin, come rain or shine. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to Guru Sananse, as well as other monks within the monastery, as well as Anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits and express our gratitude to those who made great efforts to spread the teaching of the Buddha, be thereby translated in sermon, sharing them out with others, inviting others to join them. May the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer merits required to our devotees, friends of the monastery, who for sake of merits continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes every one of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery, to those of you who provide the Mahasangha with shelter, alms, roads, medicines, as well as those who pass on their works and their well wishes. May the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. There's also take one chance of merits to our mothers, fathers, husband, wives, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, grandpas, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, and nieces, our elders, friends and acquaintances, employees, and to all those who have helped us, supported us, assisted us in shape or form. By the power of these merits, may they be healed of any physical or mental ailments. May they overcome any obstacles in their spiritual progress. May they abstain from unmeritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer merits to the devas, brahmins, spirits, demons, priming the Sakadevas, numerous garden deities who are committed to protect and fulfill the Samvada Sasana. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to our garden deities who keep a watchful eye over us and keep us out of harm's way. May the power of these merits, may they prosper in divine power and wisdom. May they abstain from meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all those who have been friends and family to us in the long journey in Sansara, and to all those who helped us, supported us, assisted us in any shape or form. Let's take a moment to transfer these merits. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all the members of the armed forces, as well as the police force, who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all those lost lives in the war be the friend of foe. Rejoice in the merits required today. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all those lost lives in natural calamities, such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides, pandemics, reminding ourselves among them will be those who have been friends and family to us in long journey sansara. Let's take a moment to transfer their merits to them. May the power of the merits, if any have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plains. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let's all resolve, may the power and the blessing of all the merits acquired throughout the day, we be and witness the event of many hundreds of thousands of Arithanwanses, Arahat Mahin Vamsis in this blessed land. And finally, may the power of all the merits required for the day, you and I and everyone who made this program a success become an Arahatan Vamsi or Arahat Mahin Vamsi in this very life in the era of the Gautama, Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings of the Noble Chupa Chan be with you all. The members of the Mahasangha will now transfer their blessings to you.
Raga ginnen midetnva Dvesha ginnen midetnva Moha ginnen midetnva Nibbhana parama sukhain Sukita tarabitnva Nibbhana parama sukhain Sukita taravitnva Mamada siyalu loka siyalu satnvayo Nibbhana parama sukhain Sukita taravitnva Nibbhana parama sukhain Sukita taravitnva Nibbhana parama sukhain Sukita taravitnva Raga gini niveva Dvesha gini niveva Moha ghini niveva Nivan sep labeva Nivan sep labeva Nivan sep labeva
Tunrangi Susyananta Mahagunabhin Siloka Sisatyam Nibbhana Paramasukhin Sukhtaraya.